Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome again to our home. If you live on the east coast of Australia, you know that a big cold front has come through and the winds are blowing, and really wouldn't be good to try to get out in the bush and do any audio recording. It, I think it would just be fighting a losing battle. Today, I want to make a really strong, powerful statement. Here it is. God is able. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. If you could take the universe and everyone that's in it, and you could add their power together, then God would be so much greater than all of them combined, and it's because He created them. God is able, and He is our very good Father. Just makes you want to say hallelujah. So just what can God do? Well, the Apostle Paul gave us a little information when he said, God is able to do far more than you or I can even ask or think. Now, I have a vivid imagination, which some of you probably have. I can imagine just about anything, but God's power is able to supersede anything that I can bring up in my imagination. His power is, well, unimaginable, because He can do anything, anything. He is able. Praise the Lord. But I can hear the skeptics now as they say, well, Pastor Tony, I think you've lost the plot. No one or no thing can be that powerful. Well, for the next few moments, I want to show you why I believe God is that powerful. So get ready for a quick survey of the Bible. Before that, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that we can highlight you. We can praise you and worship you, and we can talk about the mighty things that you've done, and we can look forward to the things that you can do. So, Lord, open our eyes, open our minds to where we can know who you are and what you're capable of. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now let's get started on just how wonderfully magnificent that God is. First of all, Christians believe that God created everything simply by speaking it into existence. He created everything from nothing. Now, I know that sounds impossible, but if God is God, then I think the impossible is easy. Wouldn't you agree? But we also believe that He led His people right through the middle of an ocean on dry ground. And the amazing thing is, He destroyed the most significant and powerful army on the face of the planet at that time on the backswing when the water came together. So God can do anything. And then He led those 1 million people that we talked about last week across a desert. And He provided for them in a supernatural way. Well, try to provide food and water for 1 million people. Pretty impossible. But our God is able. We also believe that God, one time He stopped the rotation of the earth to where the sun could stand still, just to where His people could win a battle. And I know that sounds crazy. But did you know modern science has been able to verify that something just about like that took place way back there? God is able. But let's fast forward a little bit to Jesus' day. We believe that God, that Jesus, when He started His miracle campaigns, He turned water into wine. And it was the best wine that you could find anywhere. It was better than the rest. I think the local producers would probably getting a little bit worried right there. Then Jesus raised a local religious leader's daughter, 12-year-old little daughter, from the dead. Yes, from the dead. And you may say, what? Raised from the dead? God is able. Then Jesus walked on water. And he invited one of his more aggressive disciples to walk out there with him. And then he told a bunch of fishermen who had been around the lake and the sea for a very long time, he impressed them by telling the storm, he told the waves to kind of be quiet and the wind to die down. And these guys were impressed. Wouldn't you be? God is able. But it didn't stop there. He took a little boy's lunch. Yeah, that's right. Wouldn't be very much. It's fish and bread. And he blessed it, and he fed 5,000 people. And then he healed the sick and the dying and told death to take a hike when he himself rose again from crucifixion. Don't tell me that God can't do something because he is able. Now, let me get into my own personal stories. There was one time when we were pastoring up in Queensland that we were having a baptism. I think there was about 9 people that was going to be baptized. And we were out at the edge of Lake Awanga, and virtually the whole church was on the bank. I was standing out in the water, and we were getting ready to baptize. And there was a storm coming from the other side, straight towards us. Well, it wouldn't have bothered me to get wet because I was already wet. But there was a lot of people on the bank that would have gotten wet, and this would have been, well, at best, a little bit inconvenient. We had guitars out there. So I just stopped and said, folks, let's pray. Father, it would be really nice if you would keep that storm away from us. It got closer and closer and closer. And finally, when it just about hit us, it stopped and went the other way. Not a drop fell on us. God is able. And then one time up in Queensland, when we sold our building and we had to move the church into a horse paddock, we really didn't know what to do. So we began praying, Lord, what will you have us do? So we built a covered shed and met there for a year or two. And the church grew during this time until we could build a new church building. And God blessed. He gave the wisdom. He gave the ability. And we got it done. God is able. And then one of the most difficult things that we ever went through, Julie and I went through a real tough time early on here in Australia, struggling with a health crisis. And I remember sitting on a stump and just telling God, God, you're going to have to do something. I just don't know what to do. And he spoke to my heart and said, I already have. And within the next hour, he had revealed to us what he had done, and he showed us what he had been preparing for several years to that point. Don't tell me God can't do something. He is able. So now, there's something else that I want to show you that may surprise you, or it will at least challenge you. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Let's look at this verse that we've been looking at. Paul wrote, now to him who is able to do far more and abundantly than all that we ask or think, listen to this, according to the power that works in us. If this statement is true, and I think it is, then God is all powerful, but he has a desire to work through his people. Listen, many times God wants to work, but there are times that you and I are the weak link. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Remember that disciple that walked on water? Well, his name was Peter. Well, things were not all good for his little watery adventure. When Peter got out on the water, He was walking on the water, but then the storm got so bad that Peter began looking at the waves and the wind, kind of like you and I might. When things get bad, we start looking at our circumstances. Well, Peter did that as well, and he began to sink. Well, Jesus saw that when Peter called out to him, and so he reached out and picked Peter up. But now, listen to what Jesus said. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Yes, Jesus could have kept him from sinking. He could have walked all the way over to Jesus and there would have been no problems. But Jesus wanted to teach him something. He wanted to teach Peter, "Listen, Peter, you keep your eyes on me. You trust me and me alone, and don't look at the circumstances. You trust me." I think Peter probably learned something there. Well, let's go to that religious leader whose 12-year-old daughter was deathly sick. He had come to Jesus and said, "My daughter is sick. Will you heal her?" And so Jesus started going with him, but Jesus was distracted by another sick lady. He touched her and healed her. And then the message came that the religious leader's daughter had died. Can you imagine how the man felt? He had lost his little girl. But listen to what Jesus told him. He said, "Don't be afraid. Only believe." Do you see how God chooses to work through the belief of his people? Now, let's look at one more time that God wanted to work in the lives of people, but he could not. Remember, we were talking about Israel, and God had led them out of Egypt, and he had supernaturally provided for them as they went across the desert, and all the magnificent and wonderful things that he did for them. Wow, it would have been a wonder to behold. But when they got to the promised land, they stopped, set up camp, and they sent spies over into the promised land to see what was over there. When the spies came back, they looked at the evidence and said, "Uh-oh, we're not sure about this." And the majority of the leaders said no, basically saying, "We won't trust God." There was only two who said, "Let's go." This is a pure sign that the majority did not trust God. And because of their unbelief, that entire generation died in the wilderness. Only those two who voted yes and the younger people were able to go in and possess the promised land. So you see, God really does want to work through the belief of his people. Now listen, I believe that God can do anything, but sometimes he is just held back from working because people don't believe. Now let me share a personal note because I know what's running through a few people's minds. Most of us, including me, have lost something or someone, and we were believing that God would heal them or save it and keep it, but he did not, and they were taken from us. And the only thing that we can do is, "God, why didn't you answer that prayer?" In God's amazing wisdom and knowledge, he has his reasons for doing things. We in Christian circles call that the sovereignty of God. And a lot of things, sometimes they don't go our way. Even when we believe, I know it's painful. Many of us have been there. But in reality, we need to remember who God is and that we are not God. He has his reasons for doing things, and he's not duty-bound to try to explain to us why. We probably wouldn't understand it if he tried. And these can be times of challenge and heartache for us. And they will lead us to make a decision. And that decision is this: will we continue to trust him? Let me ask that again. Will you, will I continue to trust God? But then, there are those wonderful times that we do ask God for something and we believe, and God is all too willing to move heaven and earth to make it happen. You see, God is able to do far more than we can ever ask or imagine. But he chooses to work through the belief of his people. So finally, God is able. And our job is to trust that he will. Let me ask you, will you trust him? Will you trust him? Well, that's a decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. Is there something going on in your life today that you're really trusting God for, you've been praying for? Are you struggling with it? Well, let me encourage you, and sometimes it just might be hard. Let me encourage you to trust him and trust him without doubting. And if you do, you just might see some amazing things take place. So in reality, God is able. Say that with me. God is able, and he's able to do far more than we could ever ask or think. My prayer is that our eyes would be opened and that we would recognize the power that he possesses and the hope that is found in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share this wonderful concept that you are able with the people here today. Now, I know that there might be some people who are struggling, and maybe some people who have lost loved ones or lost something and it's broken their heart and they're having to make a decision. I pray, Lord, that you would just touch them today and help them to trust you. So, Father, I pray that we would just throw our confidence on you. And we know that you are able. I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.